All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. You know, today is going to be a Hot Topics episode, but Hot Topics could be a daily show, to be honest with you. If we had enough time, we could come up here and shoot a Hot Topics just about every day. But I'm going to tell you something. These topics we got today, they're steaming hot. Steaming hot. So we're going to cram as much in as possible. But before we get into it, if you're new here, this podcast is shot and recorded in the hayloft of our barn here that sits on our family farm, six generations. We don't say that enough, and I don't think people really know unless you are an OG first-time listener way back then. But this is actually, we're actually in a barn shooting this. This is why it's called Barn Talk. And we have kind of three formats of shows. We have a Q&A episode where you guys submit your questions through our email and we answer them. We have a Barn Talk Hot Topics where we kind of discuss what the hell's happening in the world and kind of give our opinion on things. And then we have a guest episode. And sometimes we have episodes just Dad and I talking about something serious, but that doesn't happen that often. But if you guys get any value from any of the shows that you watch or listen to, feel free to share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, employees, team members, whoever. It's kind of the ticket to admission to watch or listen to the show. We call it paying the fee. And so we appreciate everybody that's been doing that. And feel free to also leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We are growing those reviews slowly but surely. We're up to almost 750 five-star Spotify reviews. We're up to 300 right on the dot. I just checked this morning on Apple, five-star. So thank you to all that pay the fee and leave a review. Continue to do that. Apple guys, go out and try to kick Spotify's ass when it comes to the reviews. Spotify guys, go out and try to keep kicking Apple listeners' ass in reviews too. Because, I don't know, we had a statistic that said Apple is, people listen on Apple more than they listen on Spotify, yet Spotify has more five-star reviews. So I don't know what's going on there, but
strong silent types.
Silent types. Apple majority. Apple, you guys take the majority in those reviews. I'm rooting you guys on. I want to see that number grow. But no, seriously, in all seriousness, we appreciate all the feedback, all the reviews, all you guys sharing the show. We see it. And before we get into the nitty gritty, we got a fire ass hot market update. Yep.
Hey, I want to say something about our listeners. One thing that I really enjoy is when I'm strolling through somewhere and a person I casually know or that I know out of the community that I wouldn't necessarily say that I would, from what I know of them, that we might agree on very much. And when I see one of those people and they give me the look and they kind of look around to see if anybody's around and they go, "Hey, I really like your guys' podcast." I love that. That's fantastic. So those are the kind of interactions that are awesome. So we appreciate each and every one of you. And you don't have to agree with us.
That's the beautiful thing about this country.
Yeah, it is 100%. And you know what? Like we always say, the one thing we want to do out of our media more than anything else is to make you think that maybe you've got to do your own digging, that you got to do your own research, that you got to figure it out for yourself. Don't listen to us. I might really tee you off. And if I do, that's good. Go, you know, like here, prove me wrong, or, you know, just go figure it out for yourself, because a lot of the information we get out there from traditional sources, it's all very pointed and very filtered, and it's all intended to make you think a certain way where that may not actually be
what's going on,
what's really going on. So anyway, without further ado, the market update. Corn is 656 is where it closed on the board, and There is a 704 bid at Eddyville if you want to truck it down there if you're closer. And the best local bid around us is 680 at one of the feeders. Beans, 1501 on the board, 1520 at Quincy on the Illinois side, and 1498 in Burlington was the best bid I saw. Wheat, 682. Hogs, man, the hog market is a bloodbath. I'm a broken record every week that I give the market update, but man, I'm starting to feel guilty. Not guilty enough to send any of my monthly rent check back, but guilty nonetheless. The hog business is pretty brutal right now. 71.75 is the nearby, I'm assuming that's the May contract for hogs. Cattle, $174 a pound. And feeder cattle, I threw that in there. So if you see that cattle price, you're like, damn, I should go to the sale barn and get me some feeder cattle, fatten them babies out. Feeder cattle, $202.03 a pound, $203 a hundredweight to buy feeder cattle to feed out, feed some of that quality $6.80 corn to. I don't know what the math on that is, but I'm not sure whether it works or not. Somebody let us know in the comments. I don't have any. Crude oil, $82.68, and that's off the May contract. I don't know if that's the cash price settled, but that's what the May contract is. Gold, $2,017. It's kind of, it ran up there, and it's been just kind of hanging out because nobody really understands what the Fed or the Treasury's doing. Silver, $23.31. I think that's pretty high for silver. I don't think it's been that high in quite a while. Bitcoin, $30,500. It got up to over $31,000. It's playing the same game as gold and silver, and the fact that just so much uncertainty about where this inflation number is and whether the Fed is going to... The Fed kind of got its out this last week as far as job numbers. The signs of a recession are probably gaining enough strength that they might have their out to stop hiking interest rates, which I feel like that's kind of they've kind of wanted a strong enough excuse to pivot. And I don't know. Right now, the money, the Vegas money is about 30% chance that they hike a quarter of a percent. And that's down from where it was. But who knows what they'll do. Ethereum, $21.10, which is high. Cardano's, $0.45. That's pretty high for it. Tesla, $185. It's kind of gotten beat down with the rest of the market. And I threw Budweiser in there. Conveniently, I threw Budweiser in. $64.56 is where it closed. So it actually bounced a little bit. It was down pretty hard earlier throughout the week off of the brouhaha that we're going to talk about, but it came back a little bit. But just for reference, I think its all-time high was about $133 a share, and that was clear back like 2017, 2018. And it's pretty much been in a downward trend since then because beer sales flattened out. And I was going to say this later, but let's face it. Whiskey's better than beer. And if you're going to, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere and sit down and talk with friends, I don't want beer. And I sure as hell don't want Bud Light. Anyway, I'm not a Bud Light drinker. I'd rather have whiskey. So maybe that's what's hurting them.
There you go.
That's it.
I would agree with you.
Toto finito.
Well, you kind of hit the nail right on the head.
I alluded.
You did. That was a nice
segue.
Nice segue. We're kind of fucking, kind of messing it up right now, but... Bud Light becomes Bud Woke. I'm sure all of you guys have seen the controversy surrounded by Bud Light, Budweiser, what do you call it? Anheuser-Busch. InBev.
So the Adolphus Busch family sold the company. They still own considerable stock in it, but they sold it to European beer conglomerate InBev a few years ago. So it's Budweiser InBev, I think, is what they call the company. And to give you a little background, you know, as I said, beer sales in the United States have been flat to trending down for quite a few years. And then the other part of that is, you know, when we grew up, when my generation grew up, you had Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. My brother's generation, you had Bud, Coors, Miller, Old Milwaukee. You didn't even have light beer. Like, my brother graduated in the early 80s, and I think when he was a senior in high school is when Bud Light came out. So they didn't even have that. Everybody drank Bud Heavy, but there was not all these craft beers. There weren't any. It was all these big brewers because it consolidated. And then, you know, we got Bud Light, and we were the
How would you know in high school?
Huh?
How would you know in high school?
I just saw other people drinking.
Yeah.
Beer.
Yeah.
I never
partaked.
No, of course.
Nope.
That would be the drinking age was 21 when I was in high school.
21?
So, yeah, so I couldn't drink.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah. I just watched.
Same.
There were hooligans out there that somehow, some way, they got beer, but I don't know how.
Nope,
that happened.
Never happened for you.
No, I waited.
You were a good kid.
I was a good kid. Don't let anybody tell you any other. And we're going to talk about that. An advantage of growing up in the 80s is very little photographic evidence of anything that I might or might not have done. So we're going to say I didn't do anything.
There you go.
Anyway, so Budweiser, their market share has been declining. And, you know, one of the things that kind of has come out of this is I don't think people realize how many different brands Budweiser owns now. They have bought up so many things in an effort to try to find what the next big thing is. And your generation, you know, we played cards up here the other night. Well, you guys played cards up here, and out of pity, I got a pity invite. You know, they're like, oh, should we call someone?
Oh, no. People
he's
like
sitting at the window.
Everybody loves talking to Torque.
I was just sitting by the window with my phone in my hand.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, I hope they call me.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they call me. Anyway, I came over here, and, you know, these guys are all drinking a variety of stuff. They're drinking seltzers. They're drinking, I don't know if
we made a gin bucket.
Yeah.
We had Miller Lite because people were pissed about the Bud Light. So they don't want to drink or go on Miller. Jacob's a Miller guy. Matt was drinking Michelobes, seltzers, gin bucket. You had an old fashioned.
Somebody had a Fresca.
Fresca vodka. It tastes like a vodka Sprite. I mean, yeah, they got these freaking cocktails in a can nowadays. It's like super easy. That's if I'm not much of a seltzer guy. The only seltzer I really like is High Noons.
Yep.
Those are pretty good. And I feel like those are kind of a warm up. If you're on the boat, it's kind of like Arnold Palmer's. It's like a warm up for the day. You're going to drink something light like a seltzer, like a High Noon or a Arnold Palmer, and then you can get into either the liquor or the beer of choice that day. But I like the cocktails in a can though. Like I like ranch water. That shit's good. Or there's like a cut water. Yeah, cut water. They got like a Moscow Mule in a can. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't the best mule in the world, but it isn't bad either. So
yeah, so that's kind of what's happened to the beer industry is, you know, I've made this comment before, but think about if you were the beer truck driver. You know, if you started in the early 80s, you were 18 years old, got out of high school, and you got a job driving a beer truck, which I don't even know if you could do that, but back then you probably could. You know, all you hauled was Bud, Bud Light, Bush Light. That's about all you did. And then, you know, they started adding and Michelob Ultra and
Coors, Miller.
All this stuff. But today, if you're the poor guy driving the beer truck, I mean, you got like 45 different products on that beer truck. And, you know, instead of hauling just carts full of one kind of beer, you're getting, oh, give me three cases of this and three cases of this. And I mean, it's got to be like just an inventory nightmare. But that's just a testimony of how things change.
And the other last thing, all the IPAs, all the other beers, craft beer out there that people are getting into. I mean, I just think my generation and younger, or maybe even a little older than me, younger than you, they want to just try new shit.
Yeah.
And I think another thing with craft beer that makes people intrigued to drink more of it is the story behind it.
Right.
They like going to a local brewery and knowing
yep.
that this comes from this place.
Yeah.
You know, they like that instead of yep. just sipping on something. And it gets you drunker faster. That's the other thing about craft beer. I mean, yeah, it doesn't taste the best sometimes, but two of them and you'll be feeling pretty good versus, fuck, yeah. I don't know, 12 light beers and then you're in the same level. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, what's the... The local, we actually don't have a brewery in our hometown, but a town very close to us has a brewery. And what's that? I think it's called Wee Bit Hazy's, like 14% alcohol, yeah. something like that. And it'll make you a wee bit hazy pretty fast
yeah.
If you drop back one of those.
And I also think that there's a trend of people that are going sober.
Yes.
That don't have alcohol. They're not alcoholics, but... I think people just are waking up to the fact that alcohol just isn't the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of science and research and stuff coming out of just how bad alcohol is to the body.
Yeah.
And I think with the health consciousness happening in just everybody, with hell, people are fucking not even putting detergents in their laundry room because it's got toxic chemicals and big food and all this stuff. People are just health conscious. And so... I think they're trying to limit their drinking or yeah. just not drink at all. And more power to you.
And beer is one of the poorer choices because not only do you have the alcohol, but it's full of estrogen. For men, beer is not the best thing to drink. And once again I go back. If you're gonna hurt your body with alcohol, whiskey's probably better than beer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in moderation. Actually, clear liquor, they say, is actually the best. Of poor choices, medically, clear liquor, such as probably vodka or gin, is better for you than beer. So, anyway, we're not helping the beer.
No, we're not. No, we're not. I'm just going to say there's a multitude of factors as to why Budweiser stock is tanking.
Right. This is not
this
the
isn't
only
the only thing that has made it started to trickle down.
So... Bud's been trying to stay relevant, and we were talking before we came on about Budweiser is another legacy company that many people, including the people that own it or in it, just assume that it has always been and it will always be, but that's not necessarily true. We know that times change, and so they've been struggling to try to stay relevant. So enter this woman, and I'm going to probably slaughter her last name, but her name is Alicia Gordon Heinerscheids. That's not bad. We'll say Heinerscheids.
Her pronouns, got to get those.
Yeah, her pronouns are she, he. Of course, she, wife.
She, her.
She, her, right. Yeah, right. Sorry, I'm not good with pronouns. That's why I just don't use them. I can't keep them straight.
She, her.
Yeah. Her LinkedIn profile, and her LinkedIn's been...
Yeah, it's gone now.
It's back up, but it's been whitewashed. Her picture's gone. She is currently, although I'm not sure how much longer she will be, she is currently the VP of marketing for Anheuser InBev.
Yep.
And
she had in her LinkedIn profile.
Yes.
The first female to lead the marketing for the largest beer company in the world.
Yeah.
That's what was in her LinkedIn profile.
So that's what's important for her. That is what she feels is important for you to know about her.
But she's also the first fucking VP of marketing to lose the most amount of money that this company has ever lost.
In market share.
In
market cap on their stock.
In company history.
Yeah.
So that should overtake... that other title that she had there. Because nobody gives a fuck what your first... You could be first this, first that, first this, first that. Are you good at it? Are you good at your job? And her choices have proven that she's not very good at her job. And so I don't care if you were the first. You're not good. You're not good. This whole idea in business that we're going to hire people to be inclusive. I think most people don't give a shit who you are, what you want to do outside of work, what race you are, what religion you are, what fucking gender you are. They don't care. Are you good at your job? Are you good at your job?
I, I think that gets glossed over. Now, in Budweiser's defense, she has the pedigree. She went to Harvard. She graduated from Harvard's business school. So she has all the right, you know, she has all the right connections and all that. But she decided that she wanted to take Budweiser in a different direction. And that direction was to hire Dylan Mulvaney, who is a 26-year-old man who portrays himself, near as I can tell from what I've seen on his social media, as a very, very young woman.
Yep.
And
I don't know if the transition's fully happened. I don't know if he plans on fully transitioning or they plan on fully transitioning. I don't know what you say.
I don't either.
But I'm pretty sure they still have their genitalia.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
That's why you could still say it's a man who portrays himself as a woman.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's right. Somebody can probably correct me if I'm not being correct. But so, I mean, he's famous. He's
10 million.
By today's standards, he's famous.
10 million followers on TikTok, 1.8 million on Instagram. He's met President Biden. He's on all these talk shows. Or they're on. We're going to say he. Okay.
Just to keep it simple,
because we don't know. We don't know what the pronouns are. We don't know. So it's he. Pretty much makes their living off of
endorsements
and being a woman, quote unquote, for the brand. Like that's his identity. He has made his social media following and his presence on social media about him being a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, because he chronicles
transitioning to a woman. And like I said, I don't know if he's transitioned or not, or she's I don't know. I don't know what's fully happening there, but it seems like I heard of and I read into that the switch has not been made downstairs.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And Budweiser isn't his only endorsement deal.
No.
He's got endorsement deals.
Nike came out and gave him an endorsement deal.
For sports bras.
For sports bras and leggings.
Yep.
Yep.
You can.
And, I mean, you all saw the aftermath of what happened with that. Yep. They gave him sent him a custom can with their face on it. And it wasn't like that was going to be sold across liquor stores here in America. They just sent it to him to you know, recognize, congrats on 1 year of being a woman is what they sent to him. And they put it on social media. And that fucking exploded across all social media. And people were pissed. Because I think, the demographic of Bud Light specifically is the young college kid, frat boys. It's cheap. I think it was the number one served beer in bars across the United States. People seem to really like it. And, you know, I think most of them are hard working blue collar in the South, in the Midwest, people that drink Budweiser.
Salesman.
Salesman.
If you go to a bar, if you're traveling and you go to a bar and you don't know what the local craft beers are, and you walk into a bar, the safe bet, you walk up the bar, give me a Bud Light.
If they don't have Busch Light.
Because you know they're going to have that.
Yep.
Well, if you're not in the Midwest. If you're right. In the Midwest, you order a Busch Light because you know they're going to have it. But if you're traveling around and you walk into a bar, if I drove to Florida tomorrow and walked into a bar, well, I wouldn't order that because I don't really drink beer anymore. But if I was going to, safe bet, order Bud Light.
Yep.
Well, and that's their bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't enough because the sales are flatlining. And
so they decide to go a complete and utter different direction that most people, 90, what is the statistic?
Well, so I just looked this up. So the population of the United States, give or take right now, is 331 million citizens. The trans community accounts for about 0.00004% of that population. There's about in that number, it's fairly hard to come up with that number, but between 1.2 and 1.5 million people identify as trans. And those numbers are hard to say. It's kind of like, you know, how many people are Presbyterian. It's hard to know. But anyway, so if you're trying to widen
the gap,
your demographic, how's that work? I don't know. Apparently not very well. Now, we're early in this. This just happened this week.
Yeah.
So we don't know how this is going to play out. I mean,
well, it's playing out that people are boycotting Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch all the way. I mean, some people are going to the extreme and they're not going to buy Michelob. They're not going to buy Budweiser. They're not going to buy any of the brands under their portfolio.
Right.
And then there's just people that are strictly going to boycott Bud Light.
Yeah.
Either way for them, it ain't good.
No,
it ain't good. And I'm going to just say this, and I don't love cancel culture altogether. I think cancel culture is a bad thing because one of the things that I don't like about canceling Anheuser-Busch is all the, you know how many people they have employed? They have a shitload of middle-class Americans working for them that, you know,
that
their
poor
family.
The poor guy driving the beer truck.
Yeah, is the one that's going to hurt the most on this deal. And because people aren't going to buy. Nobody's going to accept the Bud Light or the Anheuser-Busch products that are coming into the liquor store because they're like, we're not buying this shit anymore. And I mean, I've seen videos of beer truck drivers literally making TikTok videos saying, guys, like, this is affecting me. The people do not want this. Mm-hmm. They're turning us away when we show up and say, we don't want this shit anymore.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the bad side of it. But at the same time, it actually shows you where most Americans' heads are. It shows you where most people are thinking as far as this trans stuff, and they're over it, and they are sick of it being shoved down their fucking throat. They just are. I think most people...
It's what you said earlier. Most people don't care.
We don't care.
I don't care what Dylan Mulvaney does.
Yeah.
That's more power to you. If you can get these companies give you an endorsement deal, great.
And if you want to be a fucking woman, be a woman. But when you start making it your whole ass
identity
that all you talk about is how you are trans, it's like you're shoving it down our throats. You're shoving it in our face. Like, just be a person. Your sexuality, your gender is not your identity. It's just who you are. So just be that, whatever, do your thing, but just don't throw it in our face all the time. And I think that's where most people are with this trans stuff. Just do you. Don't shove it in our faces.
Yeah. The list of things that you have to get through with me before I tell you that I'm a heterosexual male.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a father of two, husband, father to farmers, slightly husky podcaster. You know, go down the line, and somewhere down at the bottom. Oh yeah, by the way,
number 100.
I'm a man. I'm a heterosexual male.
Yeah,
but in that community, that has been it is just being drummed up constantly, and it's like there is this both sides of this are being played. Both sides of this are being played. The trans community, they're being shoveled this idea that the world is against you.
Yep.
And that you are under attack and people hate you. And
the truth, that is not the truth.
The truth is people don't care.
People do not care. Stop shoving it in our faces. Stop going and dancing in front of little children. Stop indoctrinating the shit in our school system. Stop letting boys transition to women and keep their dicks and go into the women's bathroom and fucking raping children in school. Stop that. Other than that, we really don't care. But when you start having an effect on our kids specifically and shoving it in our face all the time, that's where we draw the line. And I'm not saying every trans person agrees with that that crazy ass shit that's happening in the trans community. Because there are some transgender people that just want to be them.
Yeah.
They feel that way. They want to be that person. And they are. And good for them. And they just go on about their life. They don't make it their identity. It's like what you said. It's on the way down to the bottom of their list. They're just living life. They have interests. It's not their...
it's not their identity.
It's not their identity.
Well, and here is a really interesting... this is on that subject, but off a little bit. I think you're going to see a breaking within the whole... what is that? LGBTQ, etc.
plus
community. Okay, if you're gay, the trans community is basically saying that's not far enough. And there's this, like, if you're gay and you don't support the trans community, then, you know, you're a hypocrite within that community. And there are a lot of gay men out there that have zero interest in transitioning to be a woman or dressing up in drag or pretending to be a woman. But that gay community, if they aren't 100% on board with that, then they are ridiculed just like anybody else. And I think what you're seeing starting, and not a lot of people have spoke out about it, but some, and I think you're going to see more, is there are a lot of people within the gay community that do not want to be lumped in with this
1,000%
radical. I mean, it's no different than Democrats not wanting to be dumped in with the far left
socialist militant, woke socialist shit.
You're seeing the exact same thing with the trans community. There's a lot of gay people that they don't want anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of is a clue. That is a clue for the rest of you that you do not have to feel like you're some kind of a monster. If you look at this shit that's going on and look at Riley Gaines, she was the swimmer that tied with the man that swam as a woman that is transitioning to a woman, that they tied for the NCAA championship, but the man that was transitioned to a woman, he got to stand on the podium and he got the trophy, even though they tied.
And she got second
because the NCAA
wants to be inclusive.
Yeah. And now then she's speaking out about it, and she was at California, and I don't know what school it was, but She basically, they got her to a room. She was attacked coming down the hallway from her speech, and they shoved her in a room with a cop, because there was only like two cops because the security was terrible. And they basically held her there for I don't know how long before the mob dissipated. But anyway, she has spoke out about this, and she's a very well spoken, very intelligent young woman, and she is just being crucified for the opinion that biological males should not be allowed to compete in women's sports, that women's sport should be for women.
Well, it's because it's taking away opportunities for women. Caitlyn Jenner wins Women of the Year.
Yeah.
We have men that haven't fully transitioned being able to compete in women's sports and taking opportunities away from American women.
Yeah.
That is a problem. That is taking other people's opportunities away because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
That is what people don't want.
Yeah.
When you are you and you take away opportunities from us because of a choice that you made, that's when people start to get really pissed off.
Yeah.
When most people see it as unfair and you made that choice and you get away with it,
it's not good.
It's not good. And it's not good for women. It's not good for women in general, period.
Yeah.
For those two things, that the sports thing specifically, it's not good.
Yeah.
They can make a class of their own. If there's so much transgenderism going on and that community grows, make your own fucking class then.
Yeah.
Make your own class in sports. Have your own class then. If it's so such a big topic, there's so many athletes out there, make it its own class. Yeah. But don't take away from men or women. Well, you don't see it the other way around.
No, you don't see it the other
way around. Because it can't happen.
No, right. And so, yeah. And
I was going to say another thing. Sorry to cut you off. But the other thing I wanted to say about, you know, we see these transgenders dancing in front of these kids with these parents in the, yeah, I don't know. They're sitting in, they're sitting in a circle in these drag, I don't know. They dress up. And they're very underdressed, I would say, if it was going to be like it's fucking weird. If you look at the videos, you go watch them, you're going to look at it, and you're going to go, this is not right. This is not right. These kids should not be seeing this shit. And the thing about that is, it's never the other way around. It's always men. It's always men transitioning to women that do this crazy, weird shit.
Yeah.
It's never the women transitioning to men that are dressing up and dancing in front of little fucking children. It's never the women transitioning to men that go in and rape a person in a bathroom at a school. It's never that. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of weird shit going on there. I think there's some pedophilia going on inside of that trans. And I'm not saying all trans people are that way. Those are the bad eggs inside that community. And it's what you said about gay people, lesbians, other trans people. They look at this crazy shit and they're just getting looped up in it.
Yep.
And they're going, we don't support this shit.
Yeah.
But everybody else from the outside, they want to like make it one community.
Well,
that's why people in that community are getting pissed, because that's just like when BLM came around and we were all talking about cops. There's good cops and there's bad cops. There's good people in a community and there's bad people in a community. We shouldn't
lump
everybody in. There's good Democrats, there's bad Democrats. There's good Republicans, there's bad Republicans. Same deal.
There's good people.
There's good people and there's bad people. With bad intentions. And I think that, I don't know, I think that the shit with the kids and the shit happening at the schools and the pushing this shit into our school system is, that's what people are pissed about. And the women's sports, people are pissed about that. And just having it in our face all the time when it's 0.00000048% of the population here in the United States.
Yep.
That's not where we're at. As a country.
Yeah. Bringing that back to the Budweiser deal, a point that I'd like to make is, and we don't know this, but a lot of people, I have heard the comment made that there's a fairly good chance that really Budweiser was kind of pushed this way, because part of the problem that you see in corporate America is ESG scores. So part of this idea that they needed to be more inclusive could very easily come from the fact that as part of that ESG, which is your social score, to get that social score up, you need to be more inclusive. And that's where programs like this and endorsements like this that show that you're pro-trans, pro-this, pro-that, pro-whatever, that's being pushed at the corporate level. And don't know what that had to do with Alyssa making her decision to go this way with this ad campaign. But to tie this up, the last thing I want to tell you is she gave an interview before this all broke that she wanted to clean up, change Bud Light's perception as being a frat boy drink and to widen their reach. And she talked about how she wanted to do that and that she wanted to get rid of this party boy, frat boy, college deal. And then, this is why it's good to be a kid of the 80s, somebody went digging and they found a bunch of pictures of her partying when she was in college with a bunch of frat boys doing exactly what she said she wanted to clean up. The only thing I thought that was really funny about it was she was drinking Rolling Rock. But anyway, it's like, yeah, those pictures will bite you in the ass. And I'm like, I tell people the beautiful thing about growing up in the 80s is now I'm old enough that none of my friends and I, when we get together, we're past the glory days of reminiscing. Now when we reminisce, only about half of us can agree that the memories are correct. Like, we can't quite remember how that worked. We knew we were there. Did he say that? Did he put that on his head? I don't know. What car were we in when that happened? And there's no pictures. So that's really convenient.
Yeah.
And your generation doesn't have that because everything, there is a picture or a video of everything.
That's right.
So anyway, long story short.
I got two more things I just wanted to say about it. I think the basic thing when it comes to people having a good time and cracking a beer open, they don't want to think about fucking politics. Most of the time.
100%.
Most people want to go to a bar and they want to escape
right.
the bullshit that's happening in the world. So when you go on a campaign this far, this radical,
yep.
yeah, you're going to lose support because people want to escape from everything that's happening in the media and being shoved down our throats. They don't want to get away from that. They don't want to think about that shit. And so when you put that at the forefront of your brand and your beer, people ain't going to support it.
No.
It's good if you're a beer brand. If you're a beer brand, I wouldn't get into politics too much.
Yeah,
because beer is something that can be shared between somebody on the left side of the aisle, somebody on the right side of the aisle,
yeah.
and nobody has to know where the company stands. You just could be, you could be neutral, and it ain't gonna matter. Your sales are gonna be good, or they're gonna be okay. And the last thing I wanted to say is this is an example of what real cancel culture looks like, because the market.
Will dictate.
The market, what happened to the market, it got dictated by this actual cancel culture.
Yeah.
When the other cancel culture happens, the market always doesn't, it doesn't always dictate that outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this is real class America going, fuck this. Yeah. We are not drinking this shit.
Yeah.
And then you saw the market do what it did.
Yeah.
Versus another example where
Joe Rogan,
exactly. It had the opposite effect. Yeah.
That was attempted by elites to create a cancel culture against Joe Rogan. It totally backfired.
And it actually grew his following.
It actually blew up.
Blew up versus so. This. I feel like this is actually what cancel culture looks like because the market dictated that.
Yeah, and I to speak to that, so Joe Rogan actually commented on this, and I think I can agree with him on this. He picked up and drank a Bud Light on his podcast, and his point was basically, I don't give a shit what you do. Like, I don't care what you do, and people are blowing this out of proportion. And I agree with him in the fact that, and you said this, I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I just feel like Budweiser, you are 100% correct. I mean, beer is a recreational drug. That isn't how they market it, but it's no different than anything else that people do to escape. It's a recreational drug. It's alcohol. And people use that as an escape, rightly or wrongly, from their day-to-day lives. And for them as a company to inject politics into that, it's just wrong. And
it's a poor business decision. I mean, it was a fucking terrible business decision. And you know what? If you want to drink Bud Light, go ahead. I don't know if I'm going to drink it. I never really liked Bud Light to start with.
Yeah, I don't drink it.
But anymore. Am I going to continue to probably drink a little Busch Light from time to time? Probably. A little bit of Ultra Action? Probably.
Yeah.
Because
it isn't going to save the ship anyway.
No. I mean, company's on a downward spiral. This did not help it. Like we talked about before we got into this topic, it's been trickling down.
Yeah.
Because I just think all the things that we talked about, people aren't drinking. They want to drink other shit. Craft beers are coming around.
Yeah.
It's just not looking good for legacy beer companies.
Woo.
That was hot. Steaming.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that we drug into that. And some of those same things kind of go on our next topic because
we're a little late on this one.
We are a little late, but I feel like it deserves to be talked about.
Hey, real quick, we got to take a little break because I got to tell you something real important. If you guys aren't watching our This Will Do Farm YouTube channel, you're missing out. It's just like this, only shorter and on the farm. Definitely go check it out if you haven't subscribed yet. Give us a like, give us a comment, let us know you came from Barn Talk. And with that being said, let's get back into the podcast.
So there was actually two shootings. There was a shooting at a Christian school in Nashville, and then there was a shooting at a bank in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I think. And
killed
once again,
killed six people.
Yeah, six people, and there's
six at the bank shooting, three at the school.
At the school.
Three kids at
three
the school.
Three kids at the school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's brought the gun debate back. And if you were to listen to the media, you would be convinced that guns corrupt good people and turn them into
the monsters that
monster killing machines. That's basically the premise. The premise is that
one side of the media, you listen to one side.
The premise is if you didn't have guns, people would not have thoughts of killing people massively. Like, people would not have thoughts of going into a church or a school or a workplace or a bank and killing a bunch of people if we did not have guns. Now, we're going to start by saying AR-15s, because that's the gun of choice. You know, that is the assault weapon, even though most people on the left couldn't tell you.
Can't define that.
They can't define it. They don't know what the hell it is. They've never seen one. Or if they have, they don't know anything about how it works. But it doesn't matter. Start with that. But really, if you're going to go down that rabbit hole, that's why. I mean, this argument, people that are somewhat indifferent, you know, that maybe don't own a gun but don't have a problem with people owning guns, they'll make the argument that, you know, well, we should just make it just some common sense gun laws, and maybe you shouldn't be able to have an assault rifle. Well, the problem with that, and I think a lot of people probably could agree on some common sense things to help make it more difficult for people that might have mental issues, might have shit going on as far as being able to buy a gun.
I agree with that. I mean, if you're mentally unstable, I don't think you should be able to buy a weapon.
Yep, that's true.
I mean,
here's the problem. The NRA and the gun rights people know this because we've seen it. It is how government works. If you give, and I think we can speak to this because in the livestock business, as far as regulation goes, or in farming in general, as far as regulation goes, if you give an inch, then you'll give the next time, and you'll give the next time, and you give the next time, and before long, you have given away everything. And the NRA has made the decision that we are not backing down on absolutely anything, because they feel like if you give on anything, you are going to get completely steamrolled. The next thing you know, we're going to be Australia, and they're going to be rounding up everybody and taking all the guns. So you have the far left that doesn't think that anybody should have a gun and that the world would be safe if we did not have guns. And then you have the hardcore right that thinks that anybody should be able to walk into a store and pick up a gun. And if everybody had a gun, the world would be safe. The other side of that, not really the other side of it, but kind of in the background are the people that are pulling the strings on this. And don't kid yourself. There are a hell of a lot of people in government and elites within media and within corporations that know, and I believe this 100% to my soul, that part of the reason that the United States of America has remained as free as we are, and we're getting less free by the day, but as free as we are, is because we are the most well-armed citizenry of any country around the world. And anybody within the political machine knows if you push hard enough at taking personal rights, something bad could very well happen. And there's a point, there's a line that you don't cross, because if you do, civil war in this country looks a lot different than it does in a lot of places, because you have such a well-armed citizenry. And if you want to take us to the New World Order, and you want to take us to where you will own nothing and you'll be happy, and you want to take us to
socialism,
complete socialism,
communism,
the only way you get there is if you disarm this country.
Yep.
So that is where the battle lays out. But this, there's so many facets of this, and we touched on this a little bit. A couple of key, I think it's important. I think it's important because it happened, and it's important because it wasn't reported. But the shooter at the Christian school was transgendered. She was a woman transitioning to a man.
I believe so.
She left a manifesto, left a note as to why she was doing it. That has not been released. Most people believe the reason that hasn't been released is because
she wanted to kill Christians.
So that would make this crime a hate crime.
A hate crime against Christians.
And it's not going to be investigated that way. It is not being investigated that
way. It's not being covered that way because it's not the narrative they want to put out.
Right.
The narrative that they've been putting out is don't use this situation to go out and have any more hate against trans people. That's what this message has come out of the school shooting. No honoring the police officers that went in there and sweeped that school like clockwork and took out the target. No honoring those police officers that did a phenomenal job. No, mentioning that this could have potentially been a hate crime against Christians. They don't want to put that out there. They just want to say, you know what? We don't use this situation as a fire to have trans hate, to go hate trans people. And I believe this woman transitioning to a man, the shooter, has been fed this sack of lies that they're the most hated class in society, like we talked about in the last topic. Most people do not give a solitary fuck what you do, as long as you keep our kids out of it and you don't shove it in our face every second of the day.
Well, just be a good person.
Just be a good person. Don't make who you are, what your gender is, your whole and entire identity. Simple as that. But the media is telling trans people that they are the most hated class of society. So then you have this person, and I don't know what makes a shooter a shooter. There could have been some other factors that happened in her childhood, into her life. Who knows? But what I can gather looking from the outside looking in, it seems like she, and from the pictures that I've seen from social media, she had trans shirts, had if you're not with trans rights, it had machine guns on it. Like, she was like, if you're not with trans, you're going to die kind of deal. And it just seems like she thought that they were the most hated class society, and that's what made her push her over the edge and kill these kids, which is unfortunate. And I just want to say, Dad and I both don't like seeing kids get shot up in schools here in America. It is a fucking problem that we need to address. But this whole idea that we're going to just take guns away, all the way, we're going to take guns all out of America and give the U.S. government the power to dictate what our future is, when the last 3 to 4 years, they have completely flipped our world upside down and manipulated us to believing that this disease that came out, this pandemic, was like the next... It was plague. Like Ebola. It was like the plague when it first came out, and they were telling us that. And if we did not have guns here in this country, we would have ended up just like China, just like Australia, where they were rounding up unvaccinated or positive tested people and putting them in fucking camps, isolating them from the rest of the citizens.
That was happening in Australia. That was happening in China. That was happening in other countries. But they knew they could not do that here because people would react and say, you're not taking me anywhere. You're not taking me anywhere. So I believe there's a solution in the middle somewhere. I believe that we could have some stricter guidelines. Like I said, if you're unstable as a human being mentally, you shouldn't be able to go and buy a freaking gun. Done. And there could be some other things. And I get where NRA is coming from. You don't want to give an inch. I understand that. But you could give a little bit on that, probably. Do I think that we should take all guns away? No, because then you give the government all the power to dictate what we do, what our future is. And over the track record that they have showed us over the years has told me and told most people, I believe, you cannot trust the U.S. government. You cannot trust traditional media. You cannot trust what they have been telling us for a long time. What their actions have proved, I don't trust shit that comes out of their mouth. I do my own research, I look into things, and I think more and more people are getting to that point because
the track record's not
good. The track record's not good. And so you can't give them that power. So I believe, like I heard a great point. You know, we have all these veterans that come back and they don't have any purpose. And the suicide rate of veterans is one of the highest group of people that, you know, commit suicide. Because they don't have purpose. And, you know, some of them have mental problems. They have PTSD. And those people we shouldn't probably put in schools to protect kids, right? Give them a gun. I'm saying the veterans that are stable mentally, that have no purpose and want to serve, have a purpose again, coming out of the military, they're trained. They know how to use a firearm correctly. They've had plenty of training. Why isn't there a program out there to give these veterans that are stable the opportunity to protect the kids in these schools in America? I mean, that's something that I heard that I thought could solve two problems. You could give a class of society that has a hard time transitioning back to citizen, living as a citizen, and because they just don't have that purpose anymore, and give them a purpose and solve a problem because that they know how to use weapons better than most Americans here in this country. And I just think that would be a really good middle solution because you'd solve two problems with one.
I agree. The other thing, a point I would like to make, and this is something I've said this before, and this is equally not presented well by either side of the political aisle. And that is the mental health crisis that we have in this country. So there is not nearly the facilities or the funding that is needed to take care of the mental health problems that we have in this country. There are so many people, and part of this is the homeless population, but some of that is not from mental health, but part of it definitely is. And if you're willing to go take multiple people's lives that you obviously haven't done anything to you other than something perceived, you're not in a good spot.
Specifically children. I mean, if you're going to go take children's lives,
something's off.
Right.
And the Republicans and the Democrats have done a piss poor job even talking about this, let alone trying to formulate a way to pay for it. And today, if you have a person that is either trying to hurt themselves or trying to hurt others that is arrested and is deemed to be mentally unstable, if that person is sent to for a mental evaluation, one, chances are there aren't enough doctors. They're probably backlogged to where that person, who knows how long it takes for them to get in.
How well of a job that they do once they do get in. Because if that doctor's getting
Back to back, there's no beds available.
Most of these institutions, there's no beds available. There's no money available to treat them. So most of the time, they're just turned around and released back out in society. And it's just a revolving door and nothing gets done. And that's not the end all be all, but that is a huge problem in our country. It needs to be addressed. It is not being addressed. And Republicans are every bit as guilty of it as Democrats in the fact that nobody wants to spend the money on it. And then on the progressive side of it, there's this whole idea that, you know, because we don't want to label anybody anything, there's almost a backlash that if you have mental health problems, if you call that out, then you're being discriminated against, you're being victimized, and so they don't want to talk about it. And it definitely plays into this conversation about gun violence. It should definitely, we need to do a better job of evaluating people. And if those people have problems, they shouldn't be able to get a gun. And
it's a tough subject. It's a really tough subject because it's an emotional subject. Lives are at stake. We don't like kids getting killed here in America. Whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, whether you're in the middle, nobody likes seeing American kids get killed for any reason.
Yep.
Just period. Nobody likes seeing school shootings. It's not something that we like to see. But I feel like it's one of those subjects that we've talked many times on the show. Abortion, the legal immigration, gun laws. It's something that they run on, mm-hmm. but they don't fix. Yep. How many times we've been talking about this? I mean, overall, I think that, like you said, I think the World Economic Forum would love nothing more than to take our guns because they know that that's the quickest way to get the solution that they want, to own everything, to control everything, to control us, and we own nothing. It would. It'd be the easiest way. The other thing that I wanted to just say before we move on to the next topic, I know these run kind of long, guys, but I think these are important to talk about. We talked about this off air. I think it was a couple weeks ago when this first happened. But I mean, you play out the scenario if the government said, "We're coming for your guns," right? How many people would bury every motherfucking gun that they own? How many of them would hide them? How many of them would try to scrape the numbers off? Or how many would get guns built with no numbers on them, right? How many people would scramble to have no trace of a firearm? Like, they don't know where it is. Oh, we lost it. Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that in years. How many people do you think would actually hand over their guns?
Not very many.
Well, not very many. And saying that taking away all guns is the solution, you've lost your mind, because murder is illegal. Murdering people is illegal, but murder still happens.
Having a gun in Chicago, Illinois, or the state of Illinois, is very difficult, but Chicago is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Yet it's one of the highest states in gun violence in the entire world.
Yeah. I mean, when you cross the border to go into Illinois,
You have to have, if you have a gun in your car, it has to be in a case and in the trunk. Cannot be in the cabin of the vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. The gun violence hasn't stopped, even though Chicago has the highest regulation on firearms. Mm-hmm. The selling of illegal firearms, do you think that if guns get outlawed and banned, do you think the selling of illegal firearms market's going to go up or down? It's going to go fucking way up. And it's already up. It's happening. Selling of illegal firearms happens all the time, everywhere, in major cities. I mean, you think that somebody with a bad track record and a felon gets out of prison and gets back on the streets, he's going to go walk into the gun shop and buy a gun, or is he going to buy it out of a trunk out of a car? Right? I mean, what do you think happens?
The whole gun idea is a scapegoat of a larger problem. I mean, it is. And what's really sad is any time that there is a shooting of any kind, half of the country
goes to the extreme.
No, half of this country is like, God, I hope that was a fucking white, I hope that was a white Christian Republican that shot that up.
Yeah.
And half of that country, half me included, is like, God, I hope it was some, I hope it was a gangbanger. I hope it was somebody that was not, well, I hope it wasn't a Republican. I hope it wasn't a conservative, because that's what they want. And that goes to the point you and I talked to earlier about this country is kind of a, we're at a point now where it's a powder keg, and I feel like, well, you tell them about being pushed, how, what the push is, wanting a reaction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I said the only way I think strategically that they would really start revving up the taking away of our guns and our rights is if, like this trans example, this trans woman, this trans person goes in, shoots up a school. All this shit is happening where young girls get raped in the bathroom because a guy transitioned to a woman, didn't really, but he did, and raped a girl in the bathroom. Or athletics and sports. There's going to be a lot of pissed off people. There is a lot of pissed off people because of this shit happening. Dancing in front of little kids and indoctrinating them in the school system. There's going to be a lot of pissed off dads, specifically, and moms. But what would be the quickest way to take away our guns? I believe it would cause enough division in this country between groups, and somebody does actually do a hate crime against a specific group. Like if a little girl gets molested in a bathroom by a trans boy or trans woman, that a boy that transitioned to a woman went in there and did that. What do you think that dad's reaction is going to be of that little girl? He's going to want to kill that motherfucker. I mean, truthfully, he would. Because, I mean, I have never experienced anything like that, never had any family members that had anything, thank God. But I'm sure that that feeling, you want to kill that guy. You want to kill that person. And so I think they want to push us to a point where we do act on violence against a specific group and then blow that shit up as fast as they can, put it on every headline, every major news network, and show this is the problem. This is why we have to take guns away. This is, they're having hate against trans people or hate against black people or hate against Asian people, vice versa. They want to take two groups. Something happens. They want to rise up the division. Something happens and then blow it up and say, this is why we have to take guns away.
Yeah.
It's just pulling strings.
I feel like that everything, you know, we talk about how it's the bait and switch. We use social issues, our political classes use social issues to keep everybody occupied. Meanwhile, your liberties are being taken away from you over here, and you don't hear anything about it because we're too busy bickering about stuff like this. But all it will take is for a situation to happen where it truly is a hate crime coming from the right, coming from the gun
lobby,
people that are for guns, and they will blow that up and they will do everything they can to get enough political traction to swing that vote to take those guns away. And once that happens, all of this social will all go away, because then there's nothing holding back the legislative power grab of all your rights. And that's crazy. And I wanted to make a tinfoil hat. I was going to have my tinfoil hat today.
But
I don't think that there's anything
I think you'd be fucking stupid not to think that way.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom. If you do not think that that is the plan, if you do not think that that's what they would do if they took our gun rights away, I don't know if we can have a conversation, because literally, look at the track record. Look what they've tried to do. Look what they've done in other countries. Look what's happened. Look at history. Look around.
Yeah. So
do your own research. Look. Open your eyes.
Yep.
Open your eyes.
I read something today, and this totally it spoke to me this morning. A historian was talking about this phrase is called bread and circus. And what it is, at towards the end of the Roman Empire, the citizens of Rome realized how crooked the political class was within the country, and Rome was in decline, and people were being persecuted. Anybody that spoke out against the bribery and the just the poor quality of the politicians and just how bad everything was getting. And so that was the time that the Colosseum was built and the games were started and the gladiators and all the stuff that went on there. And if you went, they had free bread, free food, free bread, and the citizens poured into the Colosseum, and it kept the people occupied as Rome just kept declining, and eventually it fell. That is exactly what we have in this country. We have these social programs that we're printing money to give it away, to buy people off, to incentivize the kind of behavior that they want, and they pit us against each other. We're fighting over guns. We're fighting over the border. We're fighting over
abortion.
We're fighting over genders and perceived hatred between groups. Meanwhile, your rights, your freedoms, the future of your society is being pissed away.
Because they're throwing bills around while they have all this shit in the headlines.
It's like the Restrict Act, which I hope is dead.
I think it is. I think I saw it was dead. So good.
But till the next. I mean, they're not going to stop. But as a society, we have got to learn to not take the bait.
Look around.
You have got to learn that these are not, I'm not saying they're not problems, but these social issues are not the most important thing going on in our society today.
They're just the most highlighted.
They are the most highlighted, and you got to ask yourself, why are these the most highlighted? Well, it's because they do not want the eyes over here, because they don't want to have happen what's happening in France right now. And that brings us to, there's a ban, the TikTok issue.
Yep.
Because the only place that I've seen anything about the riots, and I mean huge riots, in France, the only place I've seen that's TikTok.
Yep.
Nowhere else.
So this is our last topic, guys. Montana is looking like they might ban TikTok altogether.
Hey, this is a pretty good podcast, isn't it? If you made it this far, you must think it's pretty good. I got a favor to ask you. Please, if you like the show, leave us a review on Spotify or Apple. Now, let's get back to it.
Montana has become the first state to approve a bill that would ban TikTok over the possibility that the Chinese government could request America's data from the wildly popular video streaming app. The GOP-controlled Montana House of Representatives sent the bill on Friday to Republican Governor Greg Gianforte, who can now sign the measure into law. The bill makes it illegal to download TikTok in the state with penalties up to $10,000 a day for any entity such as Apple and Google's app stores or TikTok itself that makes the popular video stream app available. If enacted, the ban in the state would not start until January of 2024. Brooke Oberwetter, a TikTok spokesperson, said that the bill's backers have admitted that there is no feasible plan for putting the TikTok ban in place, since blocking downloads of apps in any one individual state would be almost impossible to enforce. Oberwetter said the bill represents a censorship of Montana's voices. My opinion on that. We've already really kind of talked about the TikTok ban in full when it was getting battled out on the courts.
Who do you think would be most happy about that?
I think the elitists and the government and politicians and big corporations. Mark Zuckerberg would be pumped. But I'm saying this whole idea that TikTok is going to go away because of the Chinese government's taking our data. Mark Zuckerberg has been selling your fucking data to the Chinese government or China for long, long, long time, longer period than TikTok's ever been even alive as an app. He's been selling your data to China.
That's not even a question. Google has been doing the same thing. YouTube, Google, they've been selling your data. They're selling it. They're making money on it. Why wouldn't they sell it? Highest bidder, baby.
The largest gatherer of personal information within the United States is not any of those companies. It is the United States government.
Yeah. So this whole idea, they want to tell you it's about that. It's not about that. What it's really about, I believe what it's really about is exactly what Dad was saying. They see TikTok, it is like the wild, wild west Twitter. When COVID was going on and you saw literally Australian people getting rounded up and put in camps, that was on TikTok. That was literally happening and it was being put on TikTok. When that was happening in China, they were getting rounded up and being put in camps. They were building these huge, massive pod complexes and putting Chinese people in camps because they... And the whole green, yellow, red status, that was all on TikTok. The debate between the amount of people that are waking up and talking about conspiracy theories, quote unquote, and talking about the World Economic Forum, and talking about elitists, and talking about Nancy Pelosi's trading history. I mean, you name it, all that shit can be put on TikTok and it's not getting taken down.
What's going on in France right
now? What's going on in France right now with all the protesting? The whole farming.
Yeah,
the whole farming deal. The Netherlands. All these farmers protesting. I can only see that on TikTok. I've only seen it on TikTok. They want to take away TikTok because it's the place where us as Americans,
voices.
We are waking up. This is where we're seeing what shit is happening. And we're hearing all these different opinions. And we're going, you know what? That does seem fishy. That is weird. That is messed up. It's not. They don't give a shit about your data, and they sure as hell don't give a shit if TikTok's making you dumber. They would love nothing more than the TikTok to make you dumber.
Well, they're going to make the argument that those videos, that footage, that those accounts are creating division within this country.
They're not.
But what they don't want to talk about, and this is, I haven't heard any politician talk about this. What they really don't like is to admit that you and I can actually think for ourselves, that we are intelligent, and we can look at something and go, well, that's kind of bullshit. Or look at that and go, I need to find out more about that because I think that guy's telling the truth. Government thinks that the ordinary people, they think that you're all stupid. They think that I'm stupid. They think that we can't look at a story problem and deduct from it whether or not there's good information in there or whether we're being lied to. And They don't care if you partake of whatever on any of these other platforms that are controlled by corporations within the United States, but they're not giving you that kind of footage anyway. They're not giving you those kind of stories anyway. They just don't want you making your own decisions and coming to your own conclusions.
They don't want you to be a free thinker.
That is it. I mean, the older I get, the more I am just so suspect of government and media. And
well, it's kind of a new thing though. I mean, you had television and all that and radio, and I don't feel like back then it was probably as
jaded
as it is now. I mean, people would agree to that. But now this new wave, it's everywhere, it's all over. Yeah, you're going to have some corruption. Yeah. You're going to have people paying people to get out their message of what they want to say. They're going to pay journalists. They're going to pay news networks. Follow the money. We've said it a million times. Follow the money. Is your information getting skewed or is it not? And if it's getting skewed, look into that story or topic or issue deeper.
Yeah.
Look into it deeper. Yeah, guys. I mean, that's my two cents on the TikTok ban. I think it's bullshit. I think I would love if TikTok stayed a platform. Our data is already being sold to China, no matter what platform you're on. It is. Say that TikTok is the end all be all, and they're like, because they're a Chinese company, right? When they have a US based
division here in America for TikTok. It's not like it's the headquarters for the American TikTok media is in China. It's here in America.
And the thing I find curious is, so if somebody really wanted to work on a bill to reform TikTok, you could legislate that the servers are in America and the information stays in America. You could legislate that the Chinese need to divest of TikTok here in America and it needs to be created. An American-controlled holding company needs to take it over. You can do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it could be done. No talk of that. No talk of that because the end justifies the means. Use the TikTok, the hatred towards TikTok, build the idea that they're selling your secrets to the Chinese and only them. They're the evil Chinese government coming into your home. Not all these other guys that are taking all your data and selling it to the highest bidder, or the United States government, who takes more data than anybody, and then use that to take away more of your rights. But in reality, they don't give a shit about what they're doing. They just want to use it as an opportunity to take more of your rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gist.
And it almost makes me feel like, you know, it makes me feel like TikTok's probably a good thing when they're starting to do that. When they're starting to say that TikTok's enemy number one, when you know that other companies are selling your data, it just doesn't make sense, guys. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't add up.
It just doesn't. So, the last thing I'll say about this point is I don't know how they're going to ban TikTok from state to state. It's like that TikTok spokesperson said, Brooke Oberwetter. She said, you know,
I think that was more.
How are you gonna ban an app on the App Store in a specific state? I don't know if that's ever been done. I don't know if it even can be done. So we'll see where it goes. And I think they have 10 days to approve this bill, sign it before it fully goes in,
or it expires.
So they got 10 days. So we'll see what happens. But people are saying it's looking like it's gonna get banned in Montana. Will it? Will it actually happen? I don't know. Can it even happen? Can they even do that? I don't know, but we'll see. So, are you on fire right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of hot under the collar. I'm gonna finish up. I'm gonna give you kind of I put it under the golden nugget of info, but this it's kind of a big chunk, but I want you all to think about this through this summer and watch what happens in the biggest cities around America, because the problems that have been the can that just kept getting kicked and kicked and kicked, those are starting to roll up and creating real problems, and you're going to see things happen in some of these larger cities through this year that are going to, I think it's going to scare the bejesus out of a lot of people. And I'll start with Chicago. I did not realize, but do you know that in Chicago, 80% of the taxes, of property taxes that are taken in, go to fund the pensions. And they're only funding them at 25%. So in other words, these pensions are basically on life support, and the tax base is almost to the breaking point to where 80% of the money you bring in are just going for pensions, not for roads, not for bridges, not for to pay the current cops, not for any of that stuff. It's just going to pay pension obligations. And a lot of people were really happy when Lori Lightfoot did not win re-election. However, the guy that did get in, he probably will be worse on crime than what she was, and he's bought and paid for 100% by the union. So he's not going to fix anything. If he does anything, he's going to probably find a way to take more money from Chicago to go into these pensions. And Chicago is going to go bankrupt. Chicago is going to go the way that Detroit went. And anybody that can get out is getting out. Walmart is getting out of Chicago. They said that they've never, no Walmart store in Chicago has ever been profitable since they built the first one. And the level of theft, the amount of money they're losing.
Crime.
And crime.
Citizens don't want to shop there.
Nope.
Because they're afraid they're going to get killed or robbed or
yeah,
beat the shit whatever. Out of.
They're moving out.
And guess where I've seen most of that footage?
TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah, 100%. In San Francisco, and I want to say this was 3 years ago, the vacancy rate in commercial real estate was about 3.4%. Today, it's somewhere between 20 and 25%. I can't remember the exact number. And it's getting worse all the time. Whole Foods opened a flagship store, they called it, in San Francisco 2 years ago. They're closing it. And the reason they gave is because they could no longer guarantee the safety of their employees, and the level of theft was unbearable. You're seeing the same thing in Portland. Walmart's closing their stores there. A Cracker Barrel left Portland. Same reason, safety of their employees. Target, the CEO of Target said, I don't know, I'm not going to give you hard numbers, but the level of theft loss nationwide through their system is the highest it's ever been. And they're contemplating how they're going to manage that in these larger cities. I saw a story that Home Depot is shutting some stores in large cities. And COVID proved to a lot of these corporations that they could have workers work remotely. And workers do not want to commute into the inner city. They do not want to go into these cities. They want to live out in a suburb. They do not want to go into the city. And so you're seeing everybody that can afford to get out, whether that's San Francisco, Portland, Chicago, Baltimore, you name it, Los Angeles.
St. Louis.
St. Louis. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And as that happens, the tax base collapse, and as that happens, public service get worse. And let's face it, you got to have good people live in these cities to run for public office, and the only people that are running are people that are being controlled by the unions and by special interests. They're not making decisions
for the betterment of the community.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and so just watch, and if you live in one of these cities, just be aware that you're going to have some hard decisions to make, I think, because it's not getting better. And I thank the good Lord every day that we live where we live. We have the same problems here that people have other places. We just don't have them to the degree yet. And hopefully we can
don't ever have that.
Hopefully we can keep enough good people within government in our state and our cities to keep that. But it's all of this money printing, all of these social experiments, all of the free money. Somebody's got to pay that back. It's all coming home to roost, and it's starting with these big cities. And so if you want to know what can happen with your federal government, watch these big cities. So that's my nugget. There's nothing gold about it. They sold
it's kind
that
of
off
a shit
a
nugget.
Ago.
It's kind of a shit nugget. Those are kind of the nuggets you get.
It is kind of a crap nugget.
Those are kind of the Michelle Obama chicken nuggets you'd get on the lunch tray when you had to go through the lunch line. Those are those kind
You're
of nuggets.
You're still bitter about that, aren't
yeah,
you? You grew up during
school
the
lunch
Obama.
Sucked. School lunch sucked when Obama came into office, because Michelle went in there and said, we're going to make school lunch healthier. And then you get mascot bread thrown on your tray, and yep, sweet potato fries and three chicken nuggets.
Yep.
Terrible. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap up Hot Topics. Those were some pretty steamy topics today, I will have to say, but I think they were good. We needed to address them. I think we needed to talk about them.
Our next episode will probably be a Q&A. So if you guys want to submit your questions and get them featured on the show and we'll answer them, submit them to barntalkshow@gmail.com. You can leave them if you're watching on YouTube in the comments. You can DM us. We'll try to find your guys' questions. But the best way is barntalkshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for watching and tuning in. Keep paying the fee. Keep leaving those reviews. Share it out. And we'll see you back here next week for another episode.